John Van Dam is as American as apple pie. Salty, tart, really quite bitter apple pie. But you know, even the worst pie, come on, it's still pie. You're listening to the downright delicious Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Put that down, that's not yours.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, guess what? Guess what? It is a Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Now that we have that established, let's see what happens. Hey, welcome to the program. What are you doing here? How did you get in here? Good to be with you. Hey, the good people at Ben Sound helping us out with that opening of the show today. The lovely and talented John Shanahan, the voice that you hear in the opening. And, of course, Nicole Reed, the British voice that you hear. This is my voice that you're hearing. When you talk, you hear your voice. Do I have this all covered? Theme music that you're hearing, composed for this show by my good friend, Mr. Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, please, sit down. He doesn't deserve that. Sit down, please. Come back. Come back. The only difference between a standing ovation and leaving the room is that when you leave the room, you're in movement. Other than that, same thing. A lot of people think that alcohol helps the enjoyment of this program. That's absolutely true, unless you're not of drinking age, in which case I would be contributing to the horrible habits of a minor, and that's not my intention at all. If you do have children in the room, I suggest that you find some place for them to go for the next half hour. Because, if they only understand words that are said, in other words, if I spell out the words of this show, then the children probably won't know what I'm talking about. But I can't sit here and spell out all the words. That's absurd. That's A-B-S-U-R-D. Well, I woke up this morning and my B-A-C-K was H-U-R-T-I-N-G-ing me. And what's causing me a great deal of P-A-I-N, kids. So what did I do? I popped a P-I-L-L. Let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm too old to take a Fruity Pebbles? Fruity Pebbles is a cereal, isn't it? The Flintstone vitamins, that's what I'm talking about. No, you're never too old to eat Fruity Pebbles. Just don't tell anybody you're eating Fruity Pebbles, because it doesn't sound right. What'd you have for breakfast, Ron? Did you have scrambled eggs? Did you have an omelet? I had Fruity Pebbles. Oh, okay. Bye. Fruity Pebbles is not something you should say in a sentence. It really isn't. Unless you're a little kid, unless you're an L-I-T-T-L-E-K-I-D, I wouldn't say Fruity Pebbles out in public at all. No. And if you're going to say Fruity Pebbles, at least have some pants on. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people, when they're eating cereal, they're not fully dressed yet. What the hell's going on? No, the Flintstone vitamins, they have all the vitamins that I think are required for my body. It's just that they're in little chewy form. They're gummies. I don't know, man. I thought I would have to be like a really older senior citizen to have to gummy up my vitamins. I can still swallow. I never liked swallowing pills, though. Yeah, I take a multivitamin. I think there's more than three in there, but I take vitamin A through W and all kinds of things thrown in there. Sunflower seeds and cauliflower powder, and I don't know what the hell's in that thing. But apparently you're supposed to take a multivitamin every day because you don't get all your vitamins and foods because you eat like crap. But I'm everything's in gummy form now. Everything. I had my gummy Pfizer yesterday. Why don't they do that? Why don't they just stop fooling around? Make everything in gummy form. Everything. They make gummies in gummy form. Why not make everything in gummy form? Anyway, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. This is the kind of thing you can expect. I know. No, it's not the best I have. I'm saving that for next week. when there are more people here. Otherwise, no, this is the D game that I'm doing today. Welcome to the show. Thank you. Just make yourself comfortable. I have been entertaining for more than 30 years of my life doing radio or television, and I'll tell you something. I think the profession that I would have been most comfortable in would have been teaching. Yes, teaching. Do you know why teaching is such a satisfactory profession for a stand-up comedian or an entertainer? It's because you have a built-in audience that has to be there every weekday for a particular amount of time, and the only way they can leave the room is if they raise their hand and have to go to the bathroom. That is an attentive, can't-leave audience, and every entertainer would love that. Love it. You can't say anything. You can't heckle. You just have to sit there and listen to the person at the front of the classroom babble on for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. What an entertainer's dream that is. The only thing it's missing is serving alcohol and snacks to the children. Beyond that, it's a nightclub. It's a nightclub. It's a captured audience that can't leave. They're chained to that desk. They have to listen to you. There's repercussions if they don't listen to every word you're saying. They'll fail that class. And when they get home and their parents see the report card because they weren't listening in the class, they're going to get a whooping. Yeah, people still hit their kids. I know. It's not right. I realize that. That's a generational thing. We'll talk about that some other day. These days, you can't touch anything. You can't even touch yourself anymore. Masturbation is pretty much out of the question. Anyway, I would have loved to have been a teacher. Get up every morning, get dressed, put pants on, and realize you got a captive audience that's going to care about what you say. And if they don't care about it, they're going to look like they do. What a gratifying thing. A lot of teachers, it's a power move. Yeah, I've met a lot of teachers. They are, they're like that all the time. All the time. They think that they can command the room. So that would have been my perfect profession. Also, there's a union involved that actually fights for your salary. I mean, it's really not a bad deal. Guess what? You get the summers off. You think you have to fight to get a sick day or to take a day off to buy furniture or something? You got the whole summer off to do that. And they pay you all the way through. It's not a bad job. Salary's not great, unfortunately, but the benefit is that you have all these faces looking at you. And they have to listen to what you say. They have to. They have to show up, and they have to listen to what you're saying. What a wonderful boost in the arm. there's a downside to all of this, a gigantic downside. And the downside is you have to work with kids. No, please, anything but that. I know. Now, you could love children. I'm sure you love your own children. I mean, I hope you do. You know, that's supposed to be that way. You know, fine. That's great. But, oh my God, working with kids that you don't even know, that aren't even yours? Come on, man. That's not good. I know. That's the downside. You're spending the day with little shits, and that's not easy. That takes a talent. So, yes, you get an audience that is chained to their chairs, but it's little kids. Do you have to love children to be a teacher? No, I think you have to love listen to yourself talk such as this. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I would have been perfect as a teacher. I don't know. Think about it. Would you have wanted to have been a teacher or what you're doing now as a plumber? Which better? Which is it? Teacher or plumber? Ooh, that's a toss-up. Toss-up. Plumber. Do you know why? Plumber doesn't work with kids at all. No. Plumber comes into a house or to a business. They fix your pipes. They install something. They unclog a toilet. I don't know. But as soon as they walk through the door, that's $500. They don't even have to do anything. It's $500. It's just, well, we'll come look at your toilet, but I got to tell you, once I come through the door, it's $500. It's probably not that much, but it's almost that. And there's no kids involved. There's no kids in sight. You don't have to deal with a child at all. Dream job? Yeah, partially. Or would you rather be a teacher? Oh, my God. Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a teacher? Tough one. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. It's not a guest that I know what to do with, and let me tell you why. This is so difficult. Am I losing you? How about if I hold up a tiny little puppy dog?
Aww.
Oh, you're back. I carry pictures of dogs around, and they're on my cell phone. So if I'm ever losing somebody and they're not listening to what I'm saying, well, yeah, it gets them every time. They're around for at least another 3-4 minutes, and then they leave, realizing that you've captured them simply by showing them a picture of a dog. Show them a picture of a baby, similar response, but not honest. If you see, if someone says, oh, would you like to see my child, my little baby? Your response has to be, yeah, sure, yeah, right, okay, yes, I would love to see a picture of your child. Then they whip out a picture or their little smartphone, and there's the little baby, and you have to react. You have to react with some sort of awe. Like you've never seen a young human being before in your life. Like, these things just don't happen on a normal basis. A baby? How often does that happen? I mean, you know, so you have to, you overplay it. And you know you're overplaying it when you react. You know it. You feel it in your bone. Or bones, whatever, how many you may have. You say, oh God, I'm overdoing this. I'm overdoing this, aren't I? Oh, look at that's a cute. Yeah, and then you go really overboard and say, well, that's one of the cutest babies I've ever seen. You know it's not. But the person showing you the picture of the baby, they're eating it up like they're in bacon land. I mean, they oh, I know. Isn't my child beautiful? Oh, I know, I know. I get that all the time. This is the most beautiful child ever, ever. Better than Jesus. An unbelievable looking child, is it not? Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, 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 it is. Can we like just stop this now? Yeah, if you hold up a picture of your infant, the response you get is not genuine. Just realize that, okay? They're just making you feel good because it's too awkward to say, that's a baby from this planet? Too awkward, too awkward. However, if you hold up a picture of a little puppy dog, almost any breed, almost. Some breeds are butt ugly. Butt ugly. But, this is the word butt a lot. However, a puppy dog always. And the response is almost always genuine. They really think that that's a adorable little puppy, and in some cases the most adorable puppy they've ever seen in their lives. Yeah, young puppies are very convincing. Young children, no, not really. And I'll tell you something, little dogs are not that easy. They will drop feces anywhere they want, anytime. Yes, they are, and yes, they do. So they're not easy either. There's a lot of mess to clean up. Mm-hmm. However, they are just incredible. What other thing, will sit in your lap for an extended period of time and give you unconditional love? Now, I don't think that the pets are actually sitting in your lap to give you love. I think they're sitting there because your body is warm, and they prefer to be in a warm place a lot of the time. It's really not you. It could be anybody. So it's not like you gave birth to the dog. Maybe you did rescue it. Maybe they are familiar with the fact that you feed them all the time and that you clean up all their poop. That is a thankful reaction. But when you see a dog sitting in somebody else's lap, you've got to say to yourself, why, you little bitch, I thought you loved me and me only, and there you are greeting another person who didn't even feed you or pick up your poop. You're sitting in their lap and you're licking their face. You little bitch, you two-timing little dog bitch. I can say that word, B-I-T-C-H, kids, because technically, that's what they call them. Well, some of them, based on their sexual prowess. Anyway, my guest today is a chef and a cattle rancher. Let me explain my dilemma to you. I eat meat once, maybe every 2 weeks. And when I'm talking about meat, I'm talking about beef. I'm talking about a slab of cow. I do that maybe once every 2 weeks, sometimes even longer, less than that. Not longer, less than that. I don't like sitting there with a knife and fork cutting into flesh. It's not into me. I'm not into it. I don't like it. If I go to a steak restaurant because somebody else is paying and has invited me, I will eat the steak, but not otherwise, kind of not. I eat a lot of hamburger meat because it is so versatile. You can make hamburgers, you can make chili, you can make a meatloaf. I mean, there are meatballs, there's just meat sauce. I mean, ground beef, yay. A slab of animal flesh, not really, not to my liking. So I'm doing this interview with cattle people and with a chef that promotes beef. And I am going to try to be quite excited about it, even though in the back of my mind I'm thinking, I don't know about this. So let's say hello to our guest right now.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Good morning, wonderful. Ron. Hello, everybody. All 20 of you. Good to be with you today.
Jim, well, good to be with you.
Jim Strickland is here. He's a rancher, and Hugh Eckerson is a chef, a restaurateur, and an author, and was on Bravo's Top Chef, and Jim Strickland should have been. So there you go. Okay. We're talking about beef, which people are familiar with beef. Believe me, beef is I think it was the slogan beef is it's what's for dinner, is something like that.
That is the slogan.
All right. You see how I remember that?
Okay. Well, that's why it was developed, so you would remember.
That's why it was developed. Am I going to squeeze a couple of the good recipes out of you guys today?
We've got some wonderful recipes. We're out here at beautiful Blackbeard's Ranch, and we are cooking some tri-tip, which is a wonderful part of the sirloin. And that's going with grilled romaine and salsa rosa. It's grilling season has begun, so it's a pretty exciting time. And then I've got a grilled beef tenderloin with fresh salad made from sweet corn and onion and tomato. Mm-hmm. And all those recipes are available at beefiswhatsfordinner.com.
Well, I did get the slogan right. Now, let's get into the controversy of beef. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't be eating beef every day, unless you're a rancher, Jim, I guess. But basically, you shouldn't be doing that. But at the same time, it can be a staple of your weekly diet. Am I accurate there?
Yeah, I mean, Julia Child always said, everything in moderation.
There you go.
That's paraphrasing, but you can eat beef every day. But right now, it's what's for breakfast, because it's early here in Florida.
Well, yes. I mean, we've been introducing beef into our meals for, you know, I went to a restaurant once, Hugh, and they had corned beef, but it was homemade. And it was such a difference than what comes out of a can. It was incredible. And that turned me on to, and then whenever I go to a restaurant and if they have, I always say, do you make your own corned beef there? And they go, yeah, I'm in it. I'm putting it down my body.
Well, that's the beauty about cooking from scratch. It's so much easier than we're led to believe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you know it's healthy if you have it every once in a while. What about all the controversy about the greenhouse gases and all that stuff?
Oh, I don't think it's a controversy, but I'm going to let Jim speak on this because I think it's
a beautiful thing. He's a rancher guy.
Man, you know what? I tell you what, that's one of the best questions you could ask me. Was, you know, what do ranches contribute to the global warming, climate change, mm-hmm. sea level rise? Mm-hmm. Ranches and agricultural lands are going to be the answer because, one, we're going to do a really great job of key carbon sequestration. We're doing a lot of scientific studies right now, especially across Florida and across the nation, on which forages and what type of land actually sequesters carbon the best, and mm-hmm. we're working hard at that because there's going to be a market for carbon in the future. But, mm-hmm. you know, to be sustainable, we have to be profitable. So we're continually working at different ways to save money, conserve the land. There's a lot of opportunities out there for conservation easements, which ranchers can sell their development rights to an entity and mm-hmm. preserve that land forever. And we can really take care of the landscape, the wildlife, and the water.
That's perfect, and that's what we want, without question. Okay, now, okay, guys, I'm getting hungry here. All right, give me a recipe.
Oh, I mean, there's so many recipes, but you can get them all at the website, beefandsportsfordinner.com. Yeah. But today, this beef tri-tip is just so beautiful. And tri-tip's a beautiful, almost triangular cut, hence tri-tip, of the sirloin. And we're shaving that against the grain after we've got it to a beautiful medium. Mm-hmm. And then we're just showering that with grilled romaine and this amazing sort of Italian-esque salsa rosa. Yeah. But it sounds complex, but these are recipes that have got 5, 6, 7 ingredients, and that's it. Anybody can do them. Right. Cooking from scratch is, you know, if we've responded to the pandemic in one good way, I'm seeing people cooking from scratch and mm-hmm. cooking from home and getting excited about it.
That is one of the good things, is people are controlling what they put in their mouth, which is important. What is the least expensive cut of steak that I can just throw on a grill and it'll come out tender? I mean, I know there are some that, that probably won't and others that probably will. What's my cutoff cut-wise?
You know, I think there are so many great cuts of steak. Now, I love that you said inexpensive because there's no cheap beef. This is
right.
a beautiful, beautiful, amazing product. And when we're talking about something that's inexpensive, I think flat iron's a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think skirt steak's a great choice.
Okay.
And you're just looking for just amazing, simple cut of beef that you can grill effectively and quickly and serve your family.
Okay. Now, for people with gas grills, they put a steak on it and then they close the cover. Is that the right way to do it, or is it no cover, just throw it on the grill in open air?
Really, it depends on the cut you're doing. When you're covering it, you're depending on the temperature of the grill, you're going to encourage some steaming. So I like a pretty radiantly hot grill, and I tend to, if it's a thinner cut, I'm just going to leave it open as opposed to closing it. But close it in advance of that because it'll get that grill hotter.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, there is a website that we can visit to give you all different kinds of tips and all that kind of stuff. Let me just, for a second, Jim, let me just ask you here, as a rancher, what is your day like?
Oh, you know what? You come up with the greatest questions. I mean, my day could be any number of any things, but primarily my day consists of caring. I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate. And, especially in these pandemic times, to be able to be outside, to be taking care of these animals, to be taking care of the landscape, preserving this for future generations, providing a high-quality beef product to the public, and at the same time providing services that they may not know of, but that carbon sequestration question was a great one. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking care of it.
Okay. All right. Where do I go for information here?
You can go to beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to have breakfast now. Thank you so much. Well, that was interesting. Do what you want with that. I know it made me a little queasy, like a Cuisinart, really, to be honest with you. I don't think I'm into eating meat like that. I also don't like the slaughtering of animals. I don't think I'd eat meat again if I saw that up close. I can't imagine. Although it's been done forever, the conversation that without cows and I know somehow it has to do with saving the planet and making the atmosphere better for us to breathe. I thought that was just manufacturing electric cars. Are they thinking about electric cows? I'm not sure. I didn't get that argument too much. So that's where I'm at. That's my deal. All right. I'm just about out of time for today. Here's what's going to happen. I'm very, very gracefully going to bow out of this for today. There'll be a closing theme music, which will define the end of the program. It's the one that I use all the time for consistency reasons. And I will be leaving at that time. But here's the deal. Tomorrow, I'm going to be back again with a brand new show. It's going to be quite fantastic. I do have an interesting guest lined up for tomorrow that I believe you'll enjoy thoroughly. It has to do with getting your child into college. I think things are a little different now, and we'll find out how. You know, there was that big college admissions scandal, and we're going to talk about that too. Getting your kid into college, I mean, like, how crazy is that? So that's tomorrow. Listen to me. You've been wonderful. You really have. I'm going to be back again. I really will. I swear. You want a picture of me in the meantime? You want to take a look at me so that you can whip me out of your wallet and show people just how adorable the talk show host is? I don't think so. I don't think that'll be the case. Not today. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I wish you peace.